Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast today. As you may already know, this is not the voice of Pastor Al Davis, but we will soon hear it. He is out at the Summit County Fair today, and so he has asked me to sit in case I guess we get disconnected or anything in that way. But we are so thankful that you are joining with us today. So we want to go ahead and bring up Brother Al at this point. And Brother Al, how are you?
Are you there? Hey, Brother John, how you doing?
I'm good. I got one question for you. I see they have wrestling tonight at 6 p.m. in the arena. I want to know what your wrestling name is and what colors you're wearing.
Well, I was going to call myself Pastor Lutz.
So you're dressed like a clown then, I guess, huh? How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I thought maybe you would come out. We could go into the cage together.
Oh, tag teamer. We could do tag team. Yeah, that sounds good, brother. So how's it going out there at the fair?
It's going well. In fact, I just came out. I was getting hungry. I was watching their auctioning off the pies and the cakes and the brownies and stuff. They had, if I'd have had your resources, I would have been on the banana cream pie that was the number one. It was the blue ribbon pie for the young people at the fair here this year.
Oh,
it
was great.
Banana cream pie. It only sold for $2.50. So, I had your resources. I could have got it for $5 probably, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that all that. So, what's that?
Yeah. I just say, no, it's a lot of fun, and it's a great opportunity to get out and have a lot of conversations with some people, and I appreciate you sitting there in the studio for me.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and it's always a blessing to be with you, and so I guess we want to talk a little bit about what's going on at the fair, and unless you got something else you wanted to talk about at all today.
Well, that's mainly what I'm looking at, because we come out to the fair with our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, and we have a booth every year. And we've been doing this for some years, several years now here at the Summit County Fair. And we're just inside the main gate, and we're right next to the Northeast Ohio Right to Life. So they figure keeping all of the sort of religious themes together, I think. And then, of course, after us is the county prosecutor. I'm not sure how that fits in.
Oh, you're going to find out how it fits in.
I've been next to them the last couple of years, I think.
Oh, my word.
But it's good because, you know, I was talking with somebody yesterday about how Paul went out on Mars Hill, you know, where people would there and they would talk about things and kind of a marketplace of ideas.
Yeah,
you know, I could sit out alongside the road in Richfield and everybody look at me like, what is that guy doing out there? You know, Lakewood, you can be alongside the road and probably people will talk with you because there's people out there. But we don't have that option in Richfield. But coming out here to the fair, especially being by the main entrance, we get a lot of people. Yesterday, especially, people were talkative. And we get Christians who come by. We get atheists who come by. We get I talked with Jews, Muslims, atheists, confused, and all sorts of things here.
Sure,
and it's a great opportunity. You know, it's getting out where people are to be a witness for God. And even though most people are probably never going to come to our church, at least maybe we have an opportunity to plant a seed, to get their attention, to get them thinking about God and their relationship with Him. We use a display that several ministries have used and some of our listeners are familiar with that has three things God cannot do. And that always prompts a question because I always ask people on the first one, you know, I say, what's behind door number one? Because a lot of people say, well, nothing. And I say, no, I guarantee you, what's behind door number one? Everybody does. If they say they don't do it, they're doing it and God never does it. And, you know, it gets them thinking. And, of course, the answer is God cannot lie because Titus 1:2 says, you know, God that cannot lie.
Right.
And that's his nature. That's his characteristic. So it starts to set it up for a discussion about what sin is, because lying is a sin, and it's just one form of many types of sin. But God cannot lie because he's absolutely righteous and holy. And so it would be contrary to his nature, and he cannot change, which, of course, is the next door, which from Malachi 3:6, it says, I am the Lord, I change not. And so as a consequence, you know, we establish that God is unchangeable. He's holy. And of course, we're not holy. We're sinners. And that leads to the third door, which is basically God can allow sinners into heaven. And we have, you know, there in the Gospel of John chapter 3, where he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I mean, he can't get to heaven.
So yeah.
God can't change. We got to change. And I'm amazed how honest the young people have been this week. I say, so what happens if we say, I'll never lie again? Oh, yeah, we lie again right after it. And it's true.
Yeah, it is.
True. I mean, so the moment somebody tries to say, I will never lie again, it probably doesn't take 5 seconds before they're lying again. And it's because it's our nature. And so our nature has, we can't change ourselves, so only God can change us. Which, of course, is why Christ came into the world, died on the cross. He shed his blood to pay for our sins. And when we put our faith in Christ, he changes us. He puts his righteousness on us. And now we can go to heaven. So it's a great opportunity to share the gospel. And like I said, I had a Muslim couple the other day. He was overcome with curiosity. And I thought it was great because I got to show him some of those things. And, of course, the Quran says that Allah is the greatest of deceivers, meaning he's the greatest liar.
Yeah.
And yet he agreed with the statement that God cannot lie.
Hmm. Yeah.
But if he starts thinking about that.
Sure. Yeah, you never know what that one seed's going to be. And, you know, as you were talking about the second door where it says cannot change, and I guess I kind of ask it as a question because I know I've seen this. As we have a festival that we do every year as well. And there's really, I think it's one of the signs of how damaging evolutionary theory is just in the sense that people view God as evolving as well. You know what I'm saying?
I've dealt with that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, there's this thing, well, you know, we live in 2019 today. It's like, well, you know, I heard a preacher say, if it was wrong in the Old Testament, it's wrong in the New Testament. You know, it really is that simple, but we bring this, it's, I guess, the infection of the evolutionary progressive type mentality. And I guess, do you see that in people as you deal with people?
Oh, absolutely. We had a guy last night toward the close of the fair. He was working in another vendor space, and he was across from us, and he had been looking at it all evening, and he came over and he said, I got to see this. And we got into talking with him, and, you know, we had, you know, it's nice to be able to talk to somebody that disagrees completely with you, but you can have a civil conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And not yell at each other. And, you know, some people devolve into profanity and all kinds of things.
Right.
We had a really in-depth conversation. Probably spent 10 minutes talking. He was kind of the classic example, you know, where Paul told Timothy about those that ever learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth.
Right, yeah.
And, yeah, so he was talking about religion and evolving spirituality and how there's elements of truth in all religions. No one can say that any one religion is wrong, which, of course, is an oxymoron because he just said that what we believe is wrong. And, I think at least I got him to see that two mutually exclusive statements can't possibly be true at the same time.
Yeah.
And I said, if we believe that there's an eternal, infinite God, and that he has certain requirements, that's the only way that we can enter into a relationship with him. I said, then if I'm right, you have to be wrong. And at first he didn't want to agree with that. And I said, no, they're mutually exclusive. If you're right, then I'm wrong. But if I'm right, you're wrong. I said, we could both be wrong, I suppose, but we cannot both be correct.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they just don't think. Just like he was saying, you know, where he said, nobody should tell anybody that what they believe is wrong. well, he was just telling me what I believe is wrong, and he did not see the contradiction. They just don't see it.
And it's really just pride. That's really what the blinder is. Such an arrogance, like, oh, I know this, and you know, not willing to be corrected. And I think that's an important quality that we have to maintain, is we're always willing to be corrected by the Bible. I mean, if we're wrong, we want the truth. We want to be corrected.
Oh, absolutely.
But we don't. We have the truth on these things. And so it is frustrating when people come up that way and make those statements without even realizing it.
Yeah, and what you point out is absolutely true, because in order to be saved, we have to say we're wrong.
Right.
You know, we have to say, I failed, I don't measure up, and I can't change myself, I can't rescue myself, I can't save myself. And you're right, that's a very good observation, because that pride keeps people from trusting Christ as their Savior, because, well, you know, they think they're good enough, they think they can do enough, and they're not willing to admit that they can't.
Right. You know, the Lord's been working on me lately. I've been sharing with the church that, and I've been preaching on the radio too, that, you know, we hear this statement about love all the time. You know, love has no barriers, which we agree with, but it does have boundaries. And I think that's where the problem comes in, is people don't want to establish boundaries. And I began to think about this. You know, so many people will use the argument, well, that was the Old Testament, and, you know, we're under grace now. And which is really a perversion, which Jude says that's exactly what was going to happen in the last days. They were going to turn grace into lasciviousness. And basically what that is there's no boundaries anymore. We can establish our own. Truth is now arbitrary. It's not absolute. And, you know, people don't want to acknowledge that boundary, but you don't get into heaven without going through the truth, right? I mean, that's what has to happen. And it's just that acknowledging of that truth, which I believe is the definition of repentance that the Bible gives us in 2 Timothy 2:25, where it says to give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so, you know, you brought up that verse in Timothy, ever learning and never able come to the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a knowledge that goes along with truth. And, you know, guys like that will think they're espousing truth, but they're ignorant. I mean, I don't say that disrespectfully. They're ignorant or without knowledge of what the truth really says.
And they become blinded.
Yeah.
And, you know, the devil leads them on in their blindness. And it really is interesting, because you're talking with all kinds of people. And you've probably seen that, I'm sure, too, at the festival that you go to.
Yeah.
It's a different setting. You know, when people come to visit your church, usually, you know, there's an expectation. They expect certain things, and you expect certain things. Generally speaking, people don't come to your church service as a visitor or just a guest or a drop-in or whatever with the idea of picking arguments. You know, they're coming into, generally, I know there's exceptions.
There sure are, brother.
Well, you seem to attract them.
Lakewood, I guess. I don't know. Opposites attract, right? No. Okay.
Yeah. But when you're out in a setting like this, you get all kinds of things. I had a group of young people. They were probably young teens, right around 13, 14, at the most, maybe 12, 13 in that range. And one guy in the group, probably about half a dozen of these kids, one guy in the group really wanted to know, but there was one girl in the group, she just, you know, the Bible says, answer not a fool in his folly, you know, I'll be like him.
Right.
And it also says, answer a fool in their folly, lest they be wise in their own conceits.
Right.
And so it was kind of that one, because she thought she had the thing to just to put me off and be able to prevent me from answering. She saw it on the internet. And I hadn't heard this one before. See if you've heard this one.
Okay.
If God can do everything, can he microwave a potato so hot he can't pick it up?
Well, what?
That's just a variation on the rock, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
But she thought she was brilliant with this statement, and she's saying it and laughing, and a couple of them are giggling. And I said, oh, no, wait a minute. God will not do such a thing, because it would, for one thing, be foolishness. And I said, that's a variation on the rock. Can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it if he's all powerful?
Right.
And then so she said, well, can he? And, you know, one way of approaching it is to simply say, well, he could, but because he's God, he won't. But that really isn't a good answer.
Right.
And I'll have to admit I've used that in the past just to make people, you know, sort of turn it back on him. But really the answer is no, because he's an infinite, all-powerful God. And in order to make a rock so big, or to microwave I told her you can't microwave a baked potato because the microwave wouldn't have enough power. But but I said to make a rock so big he can't lift it would mean that you'd have to make something bigger than God. So I said, so your premise is absolutely factually incorrect. It's
right.
A nonsense statement, because by very definition of God being infinitely powerful and omnipresent, then the premise of making a rock so heavy that he can't lift it is impossible.
Yeah,
because it would have to be bigger than, it would have to be outside of God. And that, of course, also leads to the thing, well, can't there be two gods? Well, if one God is, if God is, like we describe him, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, and all these characteristics that the Bible gives us of God, another God can't be the same way, because by definition, there would have to be limits on each other, which then takes away from those very, very characteristics. So there can only be one God defined the way it is in the Bible, who's all-powerful, all-present, and all-knowing.
I'm glad she asked you that question. I mean,
but then we had, it was, and I told her, because she thought I wasn't going to respond or I would just say something. And I said, no, ask questions.
Yeah.
Don't stop learning. Because actually, in her case, she had stopped learning and asking. She thought she had something that would just shut a Christian down.
Right.
And you'll see these websites every once in a while. 15 questions that a Christian can't answer, you know, that type of nonsense.
Yeah,
and they're
right.
Usually flawed premises.
Yeah.
Like a complete misunderstanding of who and what God is.
Yeah.
And that's the common thread. And if a Christian will study the Bible, be involved in a good Bible-believing church such as yours or ours or mm-hmm. Pastor Rusnacko that's coming up next,
right,
where you can learn the Bible and ask questions in an environment where you can have Christians that can help you. You know, remember the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip went into the chariot with him, he was reading in Isaiah, and he asked him if he knew and understood what he was reading. He said, how can I accept some man, what was it, show me or guide me? I forget the exact word. But the idea is, that's part of what church is about, isn't it? Showing and guiding and teaching.
Yeah, it is. It's the perfecting of the saints. You know, you're taking the word of God and you're learning more and you're thinking more. And I think a lot of people, they really do. They just kind of, I think in your show, it's just one of your commercials says, you don't have to check your brains at the door. You know, it's, mm-hmm. And a lot of people think it's a mindless just following, mm-hmm. but it's not. God's so much more concerned about what goes on the inside than he is on the outside. Though both are important, but you're right. It's, you know, how should they hear without a preacher? God has ordained men who are faithful men to study the scriptures and be able to help people get to that point. Like I tell our church all the time, if they walk out of there, if they're not questioning something, not in a bad way, but they're not thinking about something, I feel like I failed, because I want their brain engaged. And
Right, exactly.
Because God, I know it says somewhere in Proverbs, I don't remember exactly, but God put within us the desire to seek after knowledge. You know, it's there. And so, and that starts at a very young age. Think of all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You know, that's what God built within us. And so it's, so what was the outcome? I mean, how did it end up with her? Did they just kind of walk away, or did they actually do the little board that you had there?
The young man in that group of teenagers, he actually asked some good questions. And of course, you know, he's with his whole group of people and they're trying to pull him away. And I was able to get some, you know, literature in his hands and some things and share witness with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, while we're talking, I keep thinking of so many things to add on. But, you know, one of the things that we do is I would rather plant seeds rather than force a harvest that may not be a harvest at all, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than pressure somebody to pray a prayer that doesn't understand what they're doing.
Well, absolutely. I agree because so many, you know, and think of the people over the years have walked away, oh, I said this prayer, I've said these words. You ask them how they got saved. Well, I was at the fair, I did this. And it's like, how do you know you're saved? Well, I did what the preacher told me. It's like, you know, Paul said in Galatians that, you know, when he learned the gospel, he was not taught of man, but it was by revelation of Jesus Christ. And
exactly.
Yeah, and we don't know exactly when that. I mean, sometimes I think we've all had the situation where you're talking to somebody and they're like, you see the light click on. I mean, you see it.
Yeah,
you're like, you don't have to go any further. You're like, yeah, absolutely. So the fair ministry obviously presents you a lot of opportunities. Now, how long are you there all day, or do you have shifts coming in?
I personally will be here until 6 o'clock tonight. We have other people from our church will be here because we've got our Friday night Bible study at 7 o'clock.
Okay,
there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express where we meet. And then I'll be here all day tomorrow from about 11 in the morning till probably close to midnight.
Okay.
And then on Sunday, we'll have some people from our church here. I'll be, busy with our church services. But it's exciting. And I wanted to go back to about looking at that idea of thinking and everything.
Yeah.
I had a guy who was an atheist, and I was talking with him because, you know, they struggle with this idea of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, I'm not talking about blind faith. I'm talking about reason faith. You know, God said in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together.
Yeah.
You know, reason, you know, God put something between your ears to do more and keep them apart.
Right.
You know, and so we want to think, we want to reason. And so I said, when you're driving down the road, I said, do you stop and check each bridge before you drive over it? And of course he said, no.
Yeah.
And I said, because you're exercising faith.
Yeah.
You believe that that bridge will support you and your car safely. You don't get out and check it out. Even when you're going down a road you've never been down before, you just drive over the bridge. You put faith in the fact. The reason faith is that, well, there's standards to building bridges.
Yeah.
And there's a road here, and cars are going across that bridge. And so it should be safe. It's more reasonable to believe that it's a safe bridge than to believe that it's not.
Yeah.
Now, if you saw some cones up and cars turning around and the bridge kind of wobbling in there in the wind, you would say, well, it's more reasonable to believe it won't support me. But you know, you're driving down the road, it's reasonable faith. And, you know, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. There's reason to believe the Bible. There's reason to believe that Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
It's not just blind faith. There's reason.
Well, amen.
Let's reason together.
Amen.
Your sins be as scarlet. There's a reason, you know, we can think.
Amen.
So,
We got a couple minutes left, Brother Al, just so you know, just a couple minutes left. So I don't know if you got some final thoughts and everything you want to go through. So,
well, yeah, and just again, thank you for taking over the program today in case we have some problems. Plus, it's a lot easier to do this, you know, calling in this way rather than trying to do the whole show because, just like you point out, we have a couple of minutes. I really don't have access to the time right now.
Sure, yeah.
Unless I look at my phone, which I'm talking on. But it's just good to be able to talk about these things. And let me encourage people, if you have an opportunity to get out in some way, you know, you can learn at church how to defend what you believe in, to be able to give an answer for the hope that's in you. And don't be scared of these things that people say. Just pray and ask God for wisdom. He said he'll give us wisdom. And again, you know, come out to the fair if you're here in Summit County area. It's down in Talmadge. We're right at basically Route 91 and Howe Avenue. You can Google Summit County Fairgrounds and stop by our booth right inside the main gate, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we'd love to meet you. And again, thank you, Brother John, for sitting in for me. And I know we probably just got a minute or two left.
Yeah, you got about 30 seconds to go here, about 20 seconds now.
Well, I'll let you close things out there because you can keep an eye on what's happening there. But again, let me encourage our listeners to pray for us and hope we'll be joining us again next time. So have a great time and God bless. Have a good weekend.
All right. God bless everyone. Thanks for listening.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.